This is Last Day Events News, and the date is January the 30th, 2023. Treats Us So Mean. I tell you, it's a good blues song, that one. That is from my unreleased album, and I hope you enjoyed it. Why Do You Treat Me So Mean is the blues cry, itself. Good evening, everybody. Kia ora tātou, e hua mā, ngā mihi maha na nui ki a koutou. A warm welcome to you all. It is good to see you tonight. Thank you for dropping by. The weather's still terrible up here. It's still bad down in Tamaki Makaurau, Auckland. And I just want to say, I'm thinking all of you down of all the Auckland peeps, all our Auckland whānau, and just pray that everyone's keeping safe. And my heart goes out to that that whānau that lost their young man who was kayaking in the middle of the storm. But let's be wise, let's not go out there. If we don't have to, let's not go out there and drive through it or kayak through it, okay? So let's kind of avoid those sorts of decisions like that. But my heart does go out for those people who have lost their boy and lost those other men as well, and that have drowned and been lost as a case of the result of the floods. It's just terrible. And no, I don't think it all adds up. I really don't think it adds up. But I'm not going to go down there. Why? Because we've got plenty enough that we need to talk about tonight. Anyway, guys, before I do get kicked off again, is that I've been going through a lot of my old broadcasts from the last couple of years, and I want to say that, you know, some of you have been there right from the beginning and have been with me all the way through my broadcasting sort of phases, I guess. You know, we had the initial thing in 2020, and it was just incredible what happened, wasn't it? Wasn't it just incredible what went down in 2020, what you achieved and I achieved together, it was incredible. And then we went through the whole election phase, and at the end of it, a disappointment, I guess you'd call it. I was quite fatalistic about it. I thought if God wanted me to be in there, he would have opened the doors for me to be in Parliament, thinking that I was going to be a voice for the people. But instead, God had a plan for me to be a voice for him to the people, I believe, anyway. And then we kept on going. We went through that whole new period of freedom and work that we're doing, lots more protests, and all the way you guys have been sticking with me. And I just want to say thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And some of you I haven't met in real life yet. And I've got to honestly say, you know, I know your profiles. I know your names when they come up. And I just want to thank you. I feel like I know you even without sort of knowing you, of course. I haven't met you in real life. But it's something that I really do value and I treasure. And I want to say that, you know, all the things that we were saying in 2020, and this is, it's because I've gone through all my gone through my old broadcasts going right back, but it's all of the sort of things that we're saying in 2020 that were called conspiracy nut job sort of, you know, speech and language that we were using, that you were a nutter if you thought there was going to be that there's going to be, you know, no jab, no job mandates. You were called a nutter. You were called a nutter for saying that masks don't protect you. You were called a nutter for not agreeing to the lockdowns, which we now know was so very, very harmful. We know that all of this stuff now has massive problems with it, don't we? And then when the injection came along, we all knew that it had massive, massive problems. You knew it. I knew it, and it took about 30 seconds for us to figure that out. Why? Because we were working it out by doing calm, evidence-based research, not jumping off on a tangent and trying to say, oh, you know, it's, you know, this is going to happen with no evidence. We actually looked at it and thought, well, hold on a second. How can they achieve something in a year or so that takes anywhere between 5 and 20 years to achieve? And I'm talking about, of course, the approval and enter into market of a new vaccine, so-called, let alone a new technology. And I want to just say to you brave heroes out there that have been awake since day one, I want to say well done. I don't think we say it enough to each other, but I want to say well done for being awake. Well done for being calm and looking at these things and saying, well, my gut is telling me that there's something wrong here. And so what that led you to, making an investigation and a research sort of program for yourselves, project, and we all came to the same place, didn't we? That something wasn't right. It didn't feel right in our stomachs, and then we took our heads to the books, to the web, and we did our own research. We looked at all sorts of people saying different things, ranging from the Frenchman who's now passed away, Luc Montagnier, who was a Nobel Peace Prize winner, he passed away. He had major problems with it all. And it just went on and on and on. All these wonderful, brave people that were speaking up, like my mate, like my friend, Dr. Rasha Buttar, and others that spoke up and said, there's something wrong here. We need to be vigilant. We need to be diligent. We need to have our due diligence around this issue. And I want to say to all of you that had the courage to stand up early, well done. To those of you that came on board later, well done as well. Question is, will our friends that mocked us, diminished us, hurt us, harmed us, will they have the fortitude and the bravery themselves to say we got it wrong? Will they? Because it is so very, very wrong now. The things that they were saying in 2020, then 2021, that we were expected to take on face value, didn't have the merits to be taken on face value. And so this goes out to all of the critical thinking people out there. But the secret is, what I've been saying from day one, and I've never wavered, is that the secret is to keep our cool and our calm and let the research and the evidence speak for yourselves. Now, what we're going to do tonight, we're going to look at a few things. And one of the things that we are going to look at is, and I'm just going to bring up this document. I feel so deeply honored deeply honoured to have one of the world's leading vaccinologists and a medical scientist, who's a Kiwi, working with me on the documentary The River of Lies, in New Zealand Scamdemic. And he is amazing. This is the same scientist doctor that sent the evidentiary document to the government, to Jacinda Ardern, to 100 MPs, and said, these are the things that are wrong. His research depth blows everything away. I mean, truly, when my fellow researcher and videographer, Asher, when we first spoke to this man, we both got headaches. I'm not dumb. She's not dumb. Together, we're quite smart. But this guy's thinking and language is like way up here. And I had a good chat with him today. So I want to have a talk to you about some of the things that he's sharing with me. And he's great because he is my, you'll get to meet him soon. We're going to do his, we are going to do his interview next week. He's been helping me with all sorts of things behind the scenes, just like the wonderful Linda Wharton, Dr. Matt Shelton, Brendan Faithful, all these good people that have been helping me. And he's going to come out and we're going to start having him on my show. We're going to talk about things, but he's going to be a big part of the documentary project because he is so very, very clever. And I feel very, very proud that we have a New Zealander like this. Now, he's just written another bombshell letter. So he's got the first evidentiary document that he sent off to the government, blew them away. He got a response from Minister Verrill, who's, of course, the Minister for the COVID-19 response now. And they're panicking. They are sincerely panicking. Hey, Brother Matt. And it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. And it's strange. It really, really is. Now, someone's saying, Brother JH is saying that he's not seeing me, he can hear me, but or something like that, he can only get the comments. How strange is that? Yep, also many strange things that they're doing to me at the moment. So just bear with it, Brother JH. I'm sure it'll come right for you. Now, back to this doctor. He's been giving me lots of information, working on the documentary with me, and we're just making sure that everything we say is going to be beyond reproach. We're going to go to him in just a second. I can't have him on the show, but I can talk to him in absentia around his work that he's done. We're going to look at some of the UN threats that have been made against Elon Musk and free speech and the whole disinformation piece. We want to look at that and go and look at the mad, mad world of the Disinformation Project, which features, of course, that insane individual. And she is. She's insane. That's Kate Hanna. Now, interestingly enough, folks, is that I actually had, we've got a psychologist that has joined our team. Now, we've got a great clinical psychologist in Dr. Rima Lobo, and she's also a medical physician as well. But we've got a New Zealand psychologist who's just examined some of the pieces put out there by these people involved with Stuff.co and the Disinformation Project. Fantastic and intriguing stuff. I want to share with you about that. And we're going to go into that. We're also going to look at the Medical Council information from Australia that says that practitioners, health officials, physicians that have prescribed anything that causes harm, if you know what I mean, could be open to personal litigation and prosecution. Isn't that amazing? So we'll look at that article. But we want to kind of look at the content of the Disinformation Project, just back there a second, and see whether, in fact, they're the proponents of disinformation, misinformation, and malinformation, because I think there's plenty of evidence that there is that there. So we're going to kind of look at some examples of why I'm starting to draw that conclusion. We're going to look at that. And we're also going to have a bit of a giggle, and I think we actually might start there, a bit of a giggle about Bill Gates again. Man, this guy, he must be dreading his media interviews now because he's just not Mr. Popular anymore. That's for sure. Now, before I get right into it, I do need to do my regular homework with you guys. and that is, if you appreciate the work that I do, if you enjoy the research and the broadcasting work that I do, then the way to be able to support me so that I can keep on doing it is to donate to this account here. No, it's not grifting. If you think I'm grifting, then you might as well go away, because you don't appreciate anything I do anyway. But it's not. This is my job. And I know that most of you out there that follow me and and watch me on a regular basis understand that this is my job now. Just like, you know, if I was to go and work at McD's or whatever, this is my job. This is exactly my job. But if you'd like to support me in my fundraising for my legal fees, for paying my broadcasting costs, my power, for helping me to feed my whānau, then this is the account to do it with. And we are so very grateful when people support us, because I cannot do it without your support. I'm not pretending now I'm a wealthy person at all. Once upon a time I had some money. It's all gone now, and that's been worth the loss for the fight, has it not? I believe so. The other thing also I want to mention is that we have this amazing tour coming up. If you'd like me to come to your town with the film, with the documentary, then please let me know. Email me down the bottom here, billytkjnr@protonmail.com. Give me an email there. That's to my personal email, and help me to come to your town. Please do. I'd love to come through, meet you in person, and share the new film with you, the documentary, as well as be able to have question and answers and things like that. And Dr. Carlton, one of my friends who's involved with this project, he is going to be coming to join us as well on tour, and it's just going to be amazing, guys. Absolutely amazing. All right, let's crack into it and let's have a look at I better make sure that I'm actually on camera one now. Am I on camera one? Yes, I am. Thank you so much. It's good to know that. I'm just flicking through these things here, making sure we're all lined up, because what happens sometimes is that I line things up, and then what happens is that for some reason I go to bring it to screen, and somehow it all changes. So it's perfect to be able to be here. And so, oops, someone trying to ring me in the middle of a broadcast. Okay, so here we go. And this here is, of course, Mr. Bill Gates. Bill Gates. Bill Gates. The man, the myth, I don't know what he is, but I feel deeply sorry for him, unless he repents. Anyhow, the subject matter here is, of course, climate change, carbon footprints, right? Now, of course, Bill Gates is part of that that ilk of people that are beyond accountability, beyond rich. So rich, when they blow their nose, they don't use $100 bills, they use $1 million bills to blow their nose. That's how rich this guy is. But he is a hypocrite. When it comes to climate change, he's, and everything else he just about talked about, he's an absolute hypocrite. So let's have a bit of a giggle and listen to this, because he's very uncomfortable here. Let's have a listen. Let's just make sure that's up. Here we go.
It's because you fly private planes a lot and you're creating a lot of greenhouse gases yourself.
Yeah, I probably have one of the highest greenhouse gas footprints of anyone on the planet. You know, my
kind of ironic.
Personal flying alone is gigantic. Now, I'm spending quite a bit to buy aviation fuel that was made with plants. Mm. You know, I switched to an electric car. I've used solar panels. I'm paying a company that actually, at a very high price, can pull a bit of carbon out of the air and stick it underground. And so I'm offsetting my personal emissions.
Don't worry, guys.
All right. Do you believe that? Do you honestly believe that? Do you believe that he's doing those things? And he's saying, look, I've got green credentials. Okay, that's what they call them, green credentials. I do this and I do that and I'm so good, but I fly around in my private jet. Now, do you know that there's absolute, like, we are talking hundreds and hundreds of jets, private jets that fly into Davos, and Bill Gates is one of these offenders. But here he is saying, well, you know, I do the right thing. I've got solar, which needs lithium batteries. I've got an EV, electric vehicle, which needs a lithium battery. And I've got all these things, but what's the reality of the lithium battery? Let's have a look at that, shall we?
You can see the huge scale of this open pit artisanal and small scale mine behind me.
Look at this, human misery and slavery.
22,000 members of this cooperative.
All right, now I'm not going to dwell on that, but the point is, that's just one example. You've got lithium mines in Canada that are leaving huge gaps in the earth that the First Nations people have just meant to scratch their heads and go, oh, that's okay, because I just got some money. But, you know, the whole green myth around, you know, solar and around lithium, don't get me wrong, I'm a big fan of solar, but let's be real about it and look at it from a... an actually honest perspective. But you've got this guy here, Bill Gates, you've got people like Klaus Schwab, all of these guys, Albert Bourla, CEO for Pfizer, all these guys that fly around in private jets, and they're preaching to you and they're preaching to me about our carbon footprint. Now, I don't have a private jet, I don't have anything like that, but what I do have is freedom of choice to live my life the way that I feel that I should live it. Now, I'm very much a greenie. I absolutely, completely care for our environment. With all my heart, I do. But it shows you the hypocrisy of the green crew, of the green crowd, when they sit there and stand there and they talk to all of us about our carbon footprint and tell us how evil we are, that things have got to change. But at the same time, the way that they're talking about bringing all these green, fourth industrial revolution, great reset conditions to humanity, what they're saying is that the stakeholders will be above that, because don't forget, Klaus Schwab always talks about stakeholders, and the stakeholders are going to be the multinational corporate owner, just like Bill Gates, just like Elon Musk. Do I think Elon Musk is all good? Not likely. I wish he was. I'd love to be proven that he is, that he's 100% the good guy. I would love to believe that. I really would. And in fact, I saw a hit piece done on him recently, and I just didn't believe it. I don't trust him, but I didn't believe the hit piece about him. It just looked like complete slander. And I know what that's like, and I'm going to talk about that tonight. But one of the interesting things, look at this thing here. This is from stuffed.com. One of the houses of disinformation and misinformation is stuff.co.nz. They're terrible. They really, truly are. And, you know, and speaking to international friends of mine, they agree that New Zealand media is one of the most corrupt sectors on the planet. They are. $58 million buys a lot of loyalty. But look at this. A somber mood among the world's elite at annual Davos conference. Well, what makes them elite? What makes them elite? What great feat for mankind have they done that makes them elite? Isn't there a difference between elite and a person of character and substance? Someone who's actually done something for someone? You know, in the old days, you know, when they used to, you know, go and make somebody a knight, they would have had to have done some death-defying feature to get that. Some death-defying... job of rescuing or saving or protecting or anything like that. But no. Even Elton John is now Sir Elton John, Bono, Sir Bono, Bono. You know, so they're handing these things out, but elite. And so what you have, the world's media, just like stuff.com, who earn money from and get these stories from these big media houses that are owned by the same 6-7 groups of people worldwide, and of course they play the big game, and then they say, well, you know what, these people are elite, they're just so elite, they're so much bigger than you and me. But anyway, there's a somber mood there. But why? They're gonna say it's about all sorts of things. Let's just grab a snapshot. But listen to this is written by Peter Davis, who is the chair of the Helen Clark Foundation. Okay, but who is he really? He is a communist, and he is the husband of who? Helen Clark. That's who he is. And he's talking about everybody getting down on the world's slow response to climate change. Right, so he's, you know, here we go. But listen to what he says here. The conference goal and slogan for the 2023 meeting was stated as cooperation in a fragmented world. No, the fragmentation is that people don't want to go along with this nonsense. That's where the fragmentation is, Peter. We don't believe that you insane people had the right to speak for the many. You small number of people, when you call yourselves elite, that's how arrogant they are. That's how arrogant they are. But listen to this. This is the thing that gets me. For nearly five full days, the conference center and surrounding venues hummed with seminars, plenaries, speeches, behind-the-scenes meetings. What? Behind-the-scenes meetings? And informal corridor conversations and a vibrant and evolving networking jamboree of a certain portion of the world's movers and shakers and maybe New Age masters? There was a transatlantic feel to this year's meeting. China was not much in evidence. No, it was one of the lowest attended events in their history. But here he is. This is him. This is Peter Davis. He's of the same ilk of people that are in the Climate Change Commission of New Zealand. Yep. Look at this. It talks about him. And, you know, it's just a huge thing. But the thing that makes them down is they realize that you and me and people like us all around the world are connecting arms, we're linking hands, and we are awake. We're not woke. We are awake to this nonsense. It's absolutely, absolutely sick. And you know what, Jules? I completely agree with you. We've got Jules that's just posted a comment here. She's saying it's disgusting how Wayne Brown is being treated. Absolutely. But why is that? Because you've got the woke media paid by this government to attack everybody. Everybody. Attack everybody that comes up and says, no, I'm not into woke culture or cancel culture. No, I'm not really into communism. But the problem is about Wayne Brown, he has not turned up yet, to my understanding or knowledge, he's not turned up and said, well, let's get off ICLEI, the International Council for Local Environmental Issues, let's get rid of the Rockefeller Resilient Cities Program, let's get rid of the UN Smart Cities Program, the WEF AI Regulation Program, and the whole new plan for cities, super cities. Let's get rid of that. He hasn't said that, has he? You know, he hasn't said that. But they're picking on him big time. They are really, truly picking on him this time at the moment. Now, he may have failed. He came out and said, yeah, there's some things we should have done better. But they, you know, they just didn't get round to it. So fair enough. At least he admitted it, eh? But back to these guys. The somber mood among world's elite at annual Davos conference. And that's written by an elite himself, so-called Peter Davis, pretend husband of who? Of Helen Clark. And I really do mean it when I say pretend husband of you-know-who, Helen Clark. Now, I am going to remind you of what I played last night. Let's have a look at this, because we're going to go into the disinformation topic now. Have a listen to this.
Anyway, so antibodies, antivirals. We think we can also have very early in an epidemic.
Let's have a look at that. He takes a deep breath before he goes, because he's in trouble. He's going into an area where he knows he's going to have to fess up some things. So I'm going to bang that in from the start again. But have a look at his face here. He takes a breath. He stumbles in the first word, and he's just uncomfortable, but he's having to go all the way.
Anyway, so antibodies, antivirals. We think we can also have very early in an epidemic, a thing you can inhale that will mean that you can't be infected, a blocker, an inhaled blocker.
Just be aware of that. He's talking about an inhale blocker, but let him finish.
Also need to fix the three problems with vaccines. The current vaccines are not infection blocking.
Okay, let's break that down, because I want to dial in on this, laser precise. And he's saying that the vaccine do not block infection. Let's get it one more time. Now, remember or the fact checkers around the world, when Jeanine Smore, the Pfizer executive, came out and she said, and she told everybody and said, hey, well, you know, she told the European Union investigative commission on COVID-19. She said, no, Pfizer didn't test for transmission protection and infection blocking. She said, no, we didn't do that. We didn't have time to do that. And then what happened was, of course, all of the alternative media folk like me and got out there and they said, right, they reported that and said, you know, she's just admitted on behalf of Pfizer that they didn't test for protection against being infectious, so-called, right? And all of the fact checkers said, oh, it's disinformation to say that. Well, now you've got Bill Gates saying it himself. Let's just take that back there and go from there again. But that's the first point he made, is that this does not stop anyone from getting an infection.
Infected, a blocker, an inhaled blocker. We also need to fix the three problems with vaccines. The current vaccines are not infection blocking. They're not broad. So when new variants come up, you lose protection.
Okay, so a new variant comes along and invalidates your current injection. Now, the problem is with that, you start getting into programming of your immune system, right? And that's what Luc Montagnier was saying. It's also what Professor Mike Yeadon has been saying as well. And that's a big problem.
And they have very short duration, particularly in the people who matter, which are old people. And
now that duration he's talked about is the duration of immunity, so-called. So there is no immunity. He says there is no immunity, right? Especially from the being infectious or not. So really what he's saying here is that you're going to get it. Now, one of my daughters, my beautiful children, who's been double jabbed, adult daughter, she's got COVID at the moment, okay? Second time. So you're going to get it. And you're going to pass it on, is what he's saying here. And that there is no immunity, but if there's any little tiny wee bit of immunity, it doesn't last very long.
Every one of those things is fixable. In fact, doing that work is going to help vaccinology very, very broadly.
That was
all right. And now that's a big problem, because what he's just said there, he's just experimented on our people, on our whānau, on our kids that have gone out there and done this. And that's a very, 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 very big problem. And so we wanted to dwell on that just and really dial in, because don't you remember that when people were coming out and saying these problems like this, that the injection could not protect you from getting it, could not stop you from being infectious, and there were issues with safety. Do you remember all that? Now that is that is the whole issue that the Disinformation Project has based its funding directly from the Prime Minister's office. Now, this is your tax money that's been used to fund the likes of Kate Hannah, etc., and funding them to do what? To lie to you. To essentially lie to you. Right? And what they do is, and what they've done is, and I'm just bringing this document up for you now. This here is the Disinformation Project's paper, The Memoration of Information Disorders. This is where they use, look at this, they use the last part of the Wellington parliamentary protest when it got really violent. The protest got infiltrated by a whole bunch of agent provocateurs and people that hadn't been there before at the protest. And they say that it's all a misinformation camp. It's all a disinformation camp. But when you look at the clear messaging, now let's not forget that at this event, you had doctors, nurses, lawyers, firemen, policemen, teachers, engineers, mechanics, farmers. You had everybody from across society that had researched this. You had lefties there that were protesting against this, lefties who were intellectually and honest in their hearts, that were there protesting with the so-called conservative right. if you look at some of the people that were there, there were, I would say 70% of them didn't look conservative to me. They just all looked like ordinary people, and they looked like they were really concerned. And the messaging was, don't force the mandates on us that are killing us, making people lose their jobs, lose their houses, lose their marriages, lose their sanity, commit suicide, and so on. And yet the Disinformation Project totally says no to all of those things, all those people with legitimate concerns, and they write a document like this, the Memoration of Information Disorders, Aotearoa New Zealand's Mis- and Disinformation Ecologies, and the Parliament Protest. And all this is, right, is it's a propaganda machine. It's a propaganda machine. Listen to this. This is a quote from that they use from Ardern. One day it would be our job to try and understand how a group of people could some succumb to such wild and dangerous mis- and disinformation. And while many of us have seen that disinformation and dismissed it as conspiracy theory, a small portion of our society have not only believed it, they acted upon it in an extreme and violent way that cannot stand. We have a difficult journey in front of us to address the underlying cause of what we have seen here today. Now, the underlying cause was that we had been lied to, and we blinking well knew it. That's the underlying cause. We knew we were being lied to. You knew it. Many people knew it. Lots of people have learned about it since then. And that's why she's gone. But if you look at this language here, let's try and read it again. Let's put some juice in it, some truth juice. One day, it'll be our job to try and understand how a small group of politicians and health professionals could spout such wild and dangerous misinformation and the New Zealand public accept it. And while many of us have seen that disinformation and acknowledged it as dangerous, as against rights and freedoms, a large portion of our society not only believed it, but they rolled up their arms because they trusted, rolled up their sleeves of the arms, and they got an experimental approved, provisionally approved drug in their arm. And they acted in a way to people that said no in a violent and extreme way that should never have happened. We have a easy journey in front of us to unpack and prove the underlying cause based on evidence as to why this has happened. And that's a good way to talk about the River of Lies in New Zealand Scandemic documentary, because it's exactly what we're going to do. But isn't it incredible that the very thing they have in this document that is the centerpiece to the purpose of the Disinformation Project is based on disinformation? Because what are they saying? They're saying that the injection that you get will stop you from getting sick. They're saying that it will stop you from being infectious, therefore protecting your whānau and your community. They're saying that there's no reason to distrust the government system, and if you do, and if you distrust what media is saying, you're a nut job. What else are they saying? You're unstable if you have any questions about this. You're unstable if you don't agree with the mandates, and you're mentally impaired and unwell. And what else are they saying? That you're filthy? That you swim in a river of filth? What else are they saying? That you're a misogynist, that if you're a man being there, that you're just a misogynist. Even worse, if you're a Pākehā white man there, you're even worse than that. You're now a white nationalist. But even worse than that, you're a white woman there, and you're just a national, Christian-esque, fooled, stupid woman. That's what they're saying. We're going to look at evidence of that again in a second here. So these are the principal points of their argument. Lockdowns work. The injection is going to work. Yep, it's going to work. It's going to save you. All of these things. And if you remember, the whole reason why mandates, job mandates were in place in the first place is because they were saying that you needed to get your jab so you wouldn't be infectious and to any of your patients that or people that you taught at school in close proximity. Do you remember that? That's the entire basis of it. Let me say that one more time again. Vaccine mandates and vaccine passports were based on the idea that if you got your jab, you would not be infectious and you would be able to block infection transmission. What did we just hear Bill Gates just say? The three problems with it. Number one is that it would not stop you from being infectious, which means then it wouldn't stop you from getting it. That's the first admittal. Number two, that it wouldn't recognize other variants, there became obsolete and invalid. And number three, it had no immunity. So didn't that just destroy all the reason for the mandates, the vaccine passports? You bet your dollar it does. And yet, if you think that, according to these people here, you're a nut job, an absolute nut job. But how are we going to be able to assess some of these things? Well, let's have a look at this UN regulator speaking about Elon Musk here. This is intriguing stuff to watch, is it not? It really is truly intriguing. Kia ora, Sister Laurel. Love to you. And let's have a look at this. Now, this is a UN, she might be a special rapporteur, and she's speaking about Elon Musk and his right to open speech and free speech on Twitter. Okay, that's what she's talking about. Let's have a listen to what she's saying and the threats she's offering. Let's go back.
Our message was clear. We have the rules which have to be complied with.
We have the rules which have to be complied with. Right. So number one, that's a problem because these are unelected people saying this. They shouldn't be making up any rules for anybody.
And otherwise there will be sanctions.
Elon Musk.
I think that the confidence has been weakened. And I had quite high level of confidence when it comes to Twitter. I have to say that we worked with knowledgeable people.
Now she's talking about people that worked at Twitter that Elon Musk ended up firing. And now she's saying, oh, well, you know, that's, they're knowledgeable, but they're gone.
With the lawyers, with the sociologists who understood that they have to behave.
That they have to behave. Look at this. This is an unelected bureaucrat saying that the people that they were working with in Twitter and other similar organizations knew that they had to behave, toe the line, do as you're told, be a puppet, be a sheeple, otherwise we'll give you a hard time. Boy, this is arrogance.
In some decent way, not to cause really big harm to the society.
Now, you see this term here? I always felt that, well, sorry, she's just gone, I've just gone past that a wee bit. I'm going to go back to that quote here. And she's saying not to cause really big harm to society. Now, this is the thing about the Disinformation Project. Sorry, guys, had a bit of a lag there. This is the problem with the, hey, Jennifer. This is the problem with the Disinformation Project is that they're saying that if you question their speech and what they're saying, then you are offering harm to society. And you know what they're doing right now? They've got laws in New Zealand government being framed to strengthen existing laws to say that anything you put out, including a podcast like this, could be subject to broadcasting standards. Therefore, you're breaking the law if you put out things that they say are objectionable. Do you get that? Because why? You are going to do society harm. So she's the UN, this is UN language in verity. This is absolutely wicked. Keep listening.
Harm to the society. I always felt that this notion of responsibility was there. So this is what I don't feel from Elon Musk personally.
So she's saying, Elon Musk, you're a naughty boy. So just maybe he is a good fellow. Because she's saying, you're a naughty boy, Elon Musk. and you need to be put in your place. That's what she's saying. She's almost done. She is done. All right, there. So there you have it. That's the UN point blank threatening Elon Musk, saying, well, you know, we've got a big problem. He's a naughty boy. He's a totally naughty boy. But the problem is, she is saying that free speech is a doorway to misinformation. That's the message. That's the message they're saying here. And you know what? Frankly, that's a very, very, very serious thing to say, because that is what they are saying in the New Zealand government. They are saying that speech that is against them is harmful and needs to be regulated. Now, that was a UN, bureaucrat just then. Look at this. This here is an Australian commissioner at Davos last year at the World Economic Forum. And she is the what? Australia's e-safety commissioner. So again, she is like Chris Farfoy, who was the minister of communications, right? And I want to remind you that we've got a massive problem here with the Broadcasting Standards Authority commissioner, Caroline. She is, listen to this, she's been involved in that work while she's been deputy head bureaucrat at the Ministry of Health. So what do you think her job is to do? It's to sanitize medical truth and information that stands in opposition to government propaganda. Can you see how this is New Zealand? This is not North Korea. This is not China. This is not, you know, some Asian, East Asian country where they do these things. This is New Zealand. We've got to wake up, people. This is an all-invasive attack. And so let's see where they're taking it, because what this lady says here is what they're planning to bring in to New Zealand. And if Chris Luxon doesn't speak up about this, if David Seymour doesn't speak up about this, then you know they're on the program. Let's have a listen.
We are finding ourselves in a place where we have increasing polarization everywhere, and everything feels binary when it doesn't need to be. So I think we're going to have to think about a recalibration of a whole range of human rights that are playing out online. You know,
do you hear that? You're going to have to rethink human rights, because if you're saying things that they don't like, like me protesting on the 18th of August, 2021. Along with Vinny and 80 other people, then they arrest you, they persecute you, and they hurt you. And she's saying, oh yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to do all those things. Let's keep listening.
From freedom of speech to the freedom to, you know, to be free from online violence, or the right of data protection to the right to child dignity.
Child dignity. Coming from the nest where the pedophiles love to lay. And I tell you, that is an amazing set of comments from this woman, because what she's saying is that we need to reset our understanding of free speech. Can you believe it? And she's obviously, she's American, but she works as a commissioner for e-safety. But you notice what they say, though, and this is where the woke cancel culture comes in, is where they say, where they can define words as being violence. Well, I've got violence being committed against me right now. There are two fake Facebook pages on right now abusing me, offering to sell a cup of my sperm for $2,000. My website page has been taken over, can't get into it, and it is now an Asian porn site. I'm getting all this stuff time and time again, but isn't it amazing? They don't worry about that. Now, I want to point something out to you, and I'm waging a war, and I'm going to admit it. I am waging a war against Amnesty International, because they are not real. They are not real. Ladies and gentlemen, if you thought Amnesty International was a politically neutral, good institution, I'm sorry to burst your bubble, but it's not true. Look at this. A human rights approach to tackle disinformation, because I wondered why they wouldn't help me and Vinny. I wondered why they ignored the pleas of my dear friends in the United States that were trying to get a hold of them. This is Amnesty International and in New Zealand. And they weren't getting replies. They weren't getting replies. Look at this. This is Amnesty International basically putting out their own version of the Memoration of Information Disorders. They're not independent, family. You need to spread this information as far and wide as you can that I'm sharing you. Don't give them another dollar. Because, you know, this is it here. Look at it. COVID-19 pandemic. Let's highlight that. Look at that. There it is. Deliberate to deceive or mislead people. Disinformation has been brought to the front during the COVID-19 pandemic. So are they, where are they? Are they on the woke cancel culture left involved in this program? They certainly are. And there's your evidence of it. Spread this message far and wide. They are fake. They're disgusting. They truly are. It's terrible. It's terrifying. They're meant to be a neutral human rights advocacy group, and they're not. They don't care. And so what about the types of people that are in charge of this misinformation, disinformation project? Well, let's look at one of them again. We looked at it last night. I never get sick of this particular clip here. Why? Because it shows you how insane they are. Now, I had this clip assessed today by a clinical psychologist who looked at it, and I've got all his comments here. You know, it's awesome. But it's Kate Hanna, who was the lead behind the Disinformation Project. Let's have a listen to her again.
You can draw people in lots of different places. And each of the platforms are used in different ways.
Hello, friends. As you can see, I'm working on my wimpy bag.
What is known internationally as the kind of trad wife set of viewpoints, which is white, Christian, a lot of pseudo-Celtic, pseudo-Nordic ideologies behind it. They use Pinterest and Instagram to draw in other women who are interested in interior design, children's clothing, knitting, healthy food for children. And it does draw people in towards a set of white nationalist ideas. I mean, it's relatively easy to see. If you see a very beautiful, fair-skinned, blonde or red-haired child with beautiful braiding in her hair and some flowers, just step back a little bit. Which is really distressing because that's my heritage.
So she is a very, very sick and well person. She truly, truly is. Imagine hating yourself like she does. Imagine hating yourself like she does. She honestly hates herself because she's a white woman with a Scottish, Irish, Nordic, Celtic, whatever heritage. Come on, woman, here too. Stand up, be proud. Come on. But oh no, because it suits their woke narrative. But she's actually mentally unwell. She's displaying all of the signs of someone who's mentally unstable. Now, I'm not having a go at anyone with mental health issues, not at all. Not at all. But what I am having to go at is that you got a woman being funded directly from the Prime Minister's office to churn this rubbish out. And it's disinformation. It's misinformation. It's malinformation, isn't it? How many Pākehā people have we got out there? How many? How many Pākehā people have we got watching this tonight? How many Pākehā women? Well, I want to say to you, don't, you know, everyone's got to be able to understand that they've got a right to be proud of who and what they are. Anna says, what's wrong with redheads? I'm one. There's nothing wrong with redheads, just like these. But the thing is, what if she was talking about Maori people or Samoans or Africans or Muslim people in the same light? Oh, there'd be people jumping up all up and down, wouldn't there? Oh, you'd be in big trouble then. Oh, yeah, you'd be in big trouble then. Oh, you'd be called a racist. She's been a racist against herself and anyone that looks like her. This is the lead investigator of the disinformation project. This is who's been receiving all this funding. But I'm going to show you another one. This is unreal. Yes, Sister Kylie, that's you. one of my dear friends, Sister Kylie, just said, oh, I'm one of them. Absolutely, you are. And I want to look at this article here. Now, this goes back to 2021, to August, just after my arrest. Listen to this. Coronavirus. Yep, they're still pushing it. How to protect anti-vax loved ones from the torrent of COVID-19 vaccine misinformation. Well, you see, there is a misinformation right there. Because a lot of people that are protesting against the COVID-19 public health response of the government are not anti-vaxxers. They're not. There's a whole heap of them that are not anti-vaxxers, but are anti this disinformation, the harm that's come of this strategy. This is unbelievable stuff. So right off, you've got problems there. And look at this. There's Michael Roberts, the Māori puppet. On September 1, COVID-19 vaccinations will finally be open to all New Zealanders, no matter their age, occupation or health status. Look at that. But at the same time, as New Zealanders facing the wrath of Delta, we are facing another growing epidemic, the wrath of misinformation, something that is almost impossible to escape. Myths, conspiracy theories, outright lies. Whew, about the efficacy of the COVID-19 vaccine. Listen to this. Accounts constantly circulating the internet. Now, this makes me extremely wild. Because they admit it. They admit it, don't they? Myths, conspiracy theories, and outright lies about the efficacy of the COVID-19 vaccine are constantly circulating the internet. Well, thank you, News Hub. Thank you for lying. Because you know what? We were right. Bill Gates just confirmed it for us. The disinformation is causing rifts between family, yep, government disinformation, friends and work colleagues, despite some of our most trusted sources, medical professionals and the government doing their best to shut it down. Boy, did they do their best to shut it down. So how do you persuade your loved one the best thing they can do to protect themselves in New Zealand against COVID-19 is to get the vaccine? And then, of course, this woman here, she's a criminal, Helen Patusis Harris from Auckland University, a vaccinologist based at the University of Auckland, to bust some of the myths circulating the internet. Well, Helen Patusis Harris, you can't beat the man who made it, Bill Gates, who just told the entire planet, it doesn't block it, you will get it, has no immunity. And that's exactly what we were concerned about right at the beginning. The only thing he's got to admit to yet, and the Center for Disease Control in the United States have just admitted it, that it causes harm. And you know what? Where is the article from News Hub saying we were the ones spreading misinformation in our media platform? Because look at this. But look at this. This will make you laugh. Guess who they use in the opening credits, well, opening of this article. Let's have a listen.
COVID disinformation. Revealed scammers are even sending out fake positive test results. The problems become so bad the government is on a recruitment drive for a disinformation analyst. Political reporter Jenna Lynch has the story.
The face of anti-COVID propaganda in New Zealand, Billy Takahika was arrested last week protesting the lockdown. Disinformation is everywhere, from the scrawl on the paper.
There you go. Yep. Shall we watch that again?
The face of anti-COVID propaganda in New Zealand, Billy Takahika was arrested last week protesting the lockdown. Disinformation is everywhere from this.
So there you go. It wasn't disinformation that was spreading. It was my concern that what they were doing was going to harm New Zealanders. You know, so these people are going to be held to account, dear friends. And as Nails has just said, the whole thing is a very sad joke. You know, this is unbelievable. And Valerie Hunt just said this about Kate Hannah. She just said, look, she is all made up herself with immaculate style here. She is not very well indeed. She's a nutcase. They are all nutcases. And they say that I'm the face of anti-COVID misinformation. Unbelievable, isn't it? Me. And that's why I'm before the judges and the courts in New Zealand, because they say I'm a liar and I'm dishonest and I stole, defrauded the Electoral Commission in my electoral report, all of this stuff. I've lied about nothing to do with any of this stuff from day one. I haven't needed to lie because the truth is convicting enough, is condemning enough. Nobody has to lie. But the problem is this, whānau, is that disinformation project, that this very unwell woman, Kate Hannah, is still going to be funded probably right until the day that Luxon walks into that beehive. And then what, Christopher Luxon? Are you going to de-establish it? Are you going to investigate it? It's absolutely unbelievable. Sister Debbie, who got arrested with me on today, says that evil female cop at the front was the aggressive one that bent my finger back in the frenzy. When six of them arrested and kidnapped me. Yep, that's right. Sister Debbie was right there with me. And these people have got so much to answer for, don't they? But you know what? I tell you what, we've also got to acknowledge sometimes we get a win, don't we? Sometimes we do. Sometimes we get a win. And the win, sometimes we need to take stock of it and look at it. Here's an example of a win. This is from just a few days ago. Look at this beautiful news. Child vaccination program in crisis as providers in catch-up phase, expert says. This is why we do it. See that word there? I'll highlight it. Child. That's why we do this. That's why I do this. I don't want to see my children, me and Mokopuna, and my grandchildren be exposed to this. My daughter, who's double jabbed, one of my two adult daughters, they're both double jabbed. One of them has got Guillain-Barre syndrome. One of them's got COVID today, and they're both double jabbed, and they've had COVID a couple of times each. So who were the spreaders of misinformation? Child vaccination program in crisis as providers in catch-up phase, expert says. And that, my dear friends, makes it all worthwhile, doesn't it? Doesn't that? You're welcome, Sister Monica. Doesn't that make it worth it when you see something like that? It does, doesn't it? I think it does. It makes it all worthwhile because I know, you know, they've gone all out to harm me and my family because I told the truth. But you know what? The truth is coming. The truth is coming, dear friends. It's coming. And we're going to get it out. And with your support, we will do just that. And, you know, this documentary, The River of Lies, a New Zealand Scamdemic investigative documentary, has got some of the most amazing, heartfelt, integrity-filled, honest, calm, stable experts, good people, witnesses to the truth. And their testimonies are going to be represented in this documentary. It's not a witch hunt. It's not a revenge item. It is simply to use their information that presents all of the truth around their information to expose it to its fullest, to its full extent and its width. And then you make up your mind. It's not an opportunity to say, let's go to protest, let's overthrow the government. That's not it. It will never be it. The point of this is to let you know that there are some big, big problems with what's happening in the world today and where this is trying to be taken to. Now, there's another part to this broadcast tonight that I've ran out of time to talk about. I'll have to do it tomorrow night. But when you see that, it will make sense to you. When I explain what I'm going to explain to you tomorrow night, all of this is going to make perfect sense. But the question you got to ask yourselves, what's the big plan behind it? But the River of Lies, the New Zealand Scandemic investigative documentary is about going into a deep dive to give you all of the data truthfully, honestly, and with precision, which is so important because if you don't have that, then you become Kate Hanna at the Disinformation Project, don't you? You become a nut job conspiracy theorist, which is why we don't go down rabbit holes. Look, you're welcome to do whatever you want, but this documentary is going to be able to go the distance with the best of the fact checkers. Now, I want to share this thing with you because I think it's President Trump at his finest. You've got to hand it to the guy, man. You've got to hand it to the guy. Listen to what he says here, because there's something we can compare it to. Let's have a listen.
Our public schools have been taken over by the radical left maniacs. Here is my plan to save American education, restore power to American parents. First, we will cut federal funding for any school or program pushing critical race theory, gender ideology, or other inappropriate racial, sexual, or political content onto our children. We're not going to allow it to happen. Next, I will direct the Department of Justice and Education to open civil rights investigations into any school district that has engaged in race-based discrimination. That includes discrimination against Asian Americans. The Marxism being preached in our schools is also totally hostile to Judeo-Christian teachings, and in many ways, it's resembling an established new religion. Can't let that happen. For this reason, my administration will aggressively pursue potential violations of the Establishment Clause and the Free Exercise Clause of the Constitution. That's very simple. Additionally, on day one, we will begin to find and remove the radical zealots and Marxists who have infiltrated the federal Department of Education. And that also includes others, and you know who you are, because we're not going to allow anybody to hurt our children. Joe Biden has given these lunatics unchecked power. I will have them fired and escorted from the building, and I will tell Congress that any appropriations bill I sign must reaffirm the president's ability to remove defiant employees from the job. It's all about our children. I will veto the sinister effort to weaponize civics education. We will keep men out of women's sports, and we will create a new credentialing body that will be the gold standard anywhere in the world to certify teachers who embrace patriotic values, support our way of life, and understand that their job is not to indoctrinate children, but very simply to educate them. Finally, I will implement massive funding preferences and favorable treatment for all states and school districts that make the following historic reforms in education. One, abolish teacher tenure for grades K through 12 so we can remove bad teachers and adopt merit pay to reward good teachers. We want great teachers in our schools. Two, drastically cut the bloated number of school administrators, including the costly, divisive, and unnecessary diversity, equity, and inclusion bureaucracy. Three, adopt a parental bill of rights that includes complete curriculum transparency and a form of universal school choice. And four, implement the direct election of school principals by the parents. It's all about the parents for their children.
Wow.
More than anyone else, parents know what their children need. If any principal is not getting the job done, the parents should be able to vote to fire them and select someone who will.
Yeah.
This will be the ultimate form of local control. Our country has, frankly, never had anything like it, or let's say for at least the last 50 years. As the saying goes, personnel is policy. And at the end of the day, if we have pink-haired communists teaching our kids, we have a major problem. When I'm president, we will put parents back in charge and give them the final say. We will get back to teaching reading, writing, and math, called arithmetic, and we will give our kids the high-quality pro-American education they deserve. We spend more per pupil than any nation in the world by double. We're going to keep spending the money, but we're now going to get our money's worth. We're at the end of every list on education, and yet we spend the most. We're going to change it around. We may spend the most, but we're going to be tops in education, no matter where you go, anywhere in the world. Thank you very much.
How about that, guys? How about that? How about that, Whanau? This is 5 hours ago this came online. And no, it's only recent. It's not old. But isn't it funny, he's talking about pink-haired communists. Isn't that amazing that he's actually calling it out? Don't you think that's amazing? I really do. I do find it seriously amazing. Because in the media today, we have another pink-haired communist today. This is from today. And this is the same ilk of people, like this one here, that's woke, that's cancel culture, that told everybody to stay home, lock up, wear face masks, and stay in your bubble. He was out on the beach with her girlfriend, on the beach, having swims and frolicking around, like, I won't say. And she has this more wisdom to tell us today, ventilation is the secret weapon in the COVID battle. Look at this. My word. Look at that. And she got one thing right in this article. There's barely a mask to be seen at Davos. I wonder why. But do you think President Trump would agree with me to say that we've got people like this that are communists? I do. I believe he's got it right. I believe he would say that. And one of the greatest, funniest things that I found in 2020, I'm thinking too far back now, was when essentially...
We're going to fix this.
When I launched the party, the NZPP party, and then the COVID battling party called Advance New Zealand. It was an alliance, of course. It wasn't my party alone. But when we launched New Zealand Public Party, people were saying, oh, Billy, you're just like Trump. Well, minus the money, of course. But one of the things I looked at today made me kind of have a bit of a giggle when I was putting my presentation, my broadcast today, together for you guys tonight. Let's have a look at this, because that pink-haired communist from day one had someone else fighting them, and it was this guy here.
We're going to fix this. We're going to make Aotearoa New Zealand great again. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
But you know what? We can make it great again if we stay cool, calm, if we stay vigilant, observant, if we speak the truth. Don't go down rabbit holes. Don't encourage violence. Don't say we're going to go out and hang parliamentarians. I can't believe we've gone there. That was a very, very, very special time in 2020, and I don't think we'll see anything like that again. But the truth of it is that the work that we did in 2020 has changed to a different work today. Now it's a work based on getting the truth out there and exposing it. And we're going to do that through the River of Lies, the New Zealand Scamdemic investigative documentary. It's coming, good friends. Well, I hope you've enjoyed tonight's broadcast. It's been one of those broadcasts where I think, you know what? I just enjoyed myself a great deal. They're hard topics to deal with. Tomorrow night, I'll be looking at a real big one that you guys must tune in on at 7:30. I'm going to be broadcasting as much as I can at the moment in between writing things and all sorts of stuff that I've got going for the documentary and that. But again, one of the ways that you can help me, dear friends, is to help me meet the cost of broadcasting, research, my legal fees, and things like that. And just keep supporting me, not only financially, that's not just it, but encouraging me. My whānau have been through the mill with me since day one, as you can imagine. All the good parts, yep, but all the very, very dark and low parts as well, which have been very, very hard to contend with. So if you're able to support me by regular deposits on a monthly basis, like people do with Brother Vinny, that would be a great help. Now, don't forget also to support Vinny as well in his own efforts. He's lucky. He doesn't need to pay for his lawyers. I've still got $40,000 to raise for my legal fees for the next round of court case that I've got. And that is, of course, because they're claiming I defrauded the Electoral Act and breached it, which could not be further from the truth. So anyway, I'm going to leave that there. Just want to remind you, I've got some beautiful books here that are free to you. If you want to know why we've got a climate change law, then you need this book here. We've got a climate change law coming. They're pushing it. The EU, the UK, the UN, they're all doing it. It's coming. It won't be stopped. It's coming. And this here, The Great Controversy, will give you the history and also the political background, the religious background to why we are dealing with what we are dealing with. If you need a beautiful Bible, King James Bible, if you like this, let me know. And for a small donation, I can send you one just to cover the cost so we can pass it on to someone else who can't afford one. All right, whānau, thank you so very much. Remember, through all of this, and I'll say it every night as long as I broadcast, as long as I have breath in me, is keep the peace in your spirit. Stay cool, stay calm on solid ground, and please consider seeking the Lord while he can be found. Time is running out, guys. This is moving ahead very, very quickly. And education is to arm ourselves, to be forewarned and to mitigate, but it's coming. And we need to get our lives right and accept that free gift of a relationship, of forgiveness, of reconciliation with the God of heaven, because the sun's coming back soon. The signs are all around us. The signs that we are dealing with are extreme weather, war, rumors of wars, the heart of mankind itself, evil continually, just as in the days of Noah. And of course, the Lord himself warned us about that. So anyone, I want to say to you all again, please stay safe and well. Be careful, Aucklanders. Don't go out if you don't need to. But please stay safe, and God willing, I will see you tomorrow at 5:30 on Tuesday Talk Live on Telegram, and tomorrow night after that show for the bigger part of it. All right, guys, do take care. Love to you all. Pō marae.